What's up, you guys? You already. It's your girl, Cocaine Kisses. I'm in the building. You in the building, and we're here. So, yes, let me just jump right into it and get this thing going. So, let's get to it, shall we?
Ignition sequence has started. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have commit and we have liftoff at 2:13. The Saturn V building 7.6 million pounds of thrust.
You're jamming with the hottest disc jockey. Disc jockey.
Whatever.
Oh, y'all niggas killers now. Oh, catch you coming out your fucking crib, nigga. Yeah, catch a fucking bullet, nigga. Hey, yo, I break bread, ribs, $100 bills, pill on the cotties, another four wheels, write a book full of medicine and generate meals, tour the album, only for more sales, we used to catch those on the block with krills, now it's paid shows, promoters post up bills, sign deals only if the math is real, if we can't match numbers then you can't have the head nigga in charge of shit, live nigga rhymes artists, pardon, P-Dub shines regardless, remorseless, haunt niggas like poltergeist, my advice for it, get like that, just think twice before you move on it, put jewels on it, who want it, loose niggas make the news when we start forming, snatch stripes off of niggas uniforms often, doing it past itself, your way out to jurisdiction, my niggas bullshit on the grill, I don't fuck around, Dunny, it's most real, I keep it thorough, nigga. Yo, let me back up for him, let me back up, yo, yo. Why niggas bullshit on the grill? I don't fuck around, Dunny, the smoke's real. I gave birth to your whole style and fail. I do it fail to hold my dick in public. Cock blower, duplicate rap cloner. That's me and you do it live on stage for Dolo. I smack niggas like you. Smash niggas by the tools. Grab niggas by the throat, show them proof. Rhymes cocky, crazy ill, mad rowdy. Did a buck off of my shit and rap to Audi. Temperamental, I snap quick, very touchy. Hey, yo, my attitude. Dude, it's all fucked up and real shitty. I rap like no one out there can fuck with me. You feel different, niggas see me. I throw a TV at you crazy. Bitches say, P, you crazy. A pain in the ass now, but fuck you, pay me. I'm no shorty, nigga, I stop your glory. I'm a third street nigga for real. You just applaud me, avoid P, man. Take your baby mom's advice. I'm nothing sweet, here with the guns. You pay the price when you see me in the street, soldier. Salute me, you just a groupie. Oh, you gangster, you shoot me. Who gives a fuck, really? I miss my nigga twin, kill me. So I could join the rest of my force up in the heavens. You rap niggas make me laugh, y'all crazy ass. And I don't give a fuck what you sold. That shit is trash, bang this, cause I guarantee that you bought it. Heavy airplay all day with no chorus. I keep it thorough, nigga. Thorough, nigga.
Actually, that actually gave me energy. I kid you not, you guys. As I was playing the track, because I have been so drained, right? I'm getting to all that. But prior to me playing the track, I just felt so like you know, blah, blah, drained and shit. But once I play that, nigga, I tell you, this is why you gotta love music. Like, it just does, at least it does something for me. It, like, picks me all the fuck the way up. So, all the way up. So, yes, you guys, I'm in a lot better energy space. I'm telling you, I'm glad I actually played that. So, what's up with you guys? How are you? Okay, so first and foremost, thank you guys for being here with me. Appreciate you, love you, you know, all that good shit. And this is actually my final episode for season 14. Yeah, I think the last episode I did, I said episode 15. I just be getting so confused sometimes with the amount of shit I put out here. You guys know this shit is so unfiltered. But yeah, this is actually my final episode for season 14. So the next time you hear from me, we will be starting season fucking 15, you guys. That is just like amazing. So thank you guys for being with me through it and through and through, and look at where we're at. I'm most impressed by my tenacity, because sometimes I'm shocked myself. Like, damn, bitch, you know, I haven't even made my 1 year anniversary yet, and you know, I done did 14 seasons, my nigga. So I'm out here working. I'm doing it, you guys, and you guys are with me, watching me do it. So thank you. I appreciate you. So this might be a little lengthy. I'm not even sure quite honestly, but you here with me. We here, you know. It's the evening any fucking way. It's March 4th by the fucking way. Like, I don't even think I mentioned that. But it is March 4th, throwback Thursday. And yeah, we're going to be here for a little second. So go get you something to drink, something to smoke, whatever it is you do to get the edge off of you. We gonna be here for a little second. So, you know me, mad shit to talk about. I wanted to first begin by talking about something I read regarding Target. And it's fucking crazy. Like, because, you know, you guys know some episodes back, maybe, can't even tell you off the top of my dome what episode exactly it is, but if you go searching on here, it says Target or something on this shit. You guys know I had an incident with Target, a very bad experience with them in terms of them outsourcing how they have their deliveries being sent to their customers. And I just had a very negative experience. I'm not going to get into all of that here because there's a segment explaining all that. But I did want to tell you guys what the fuck I read regarding Target now. So apparently, it's been stated that Target is tracking you and changing prices based on your location. No, I'm dead serious. No bullshit. But you know, I'm not fucking surprised. Because after what the fuck I went through, I don't put nothing past Target or anybody else for that matter, any other retail chain. So according to an article in... no, I'm serious. According to an article from HuffPost... it's been stated that the prices sometimes of things that you purchase from Target is higher depending on what location the individual is shopping at, or, you know, shopping at, or shopping, you know, the targeted store location. And it's even stated, has a lot to do too with where a person is standing. So when Target allegedly changes their prices on things, they're stating that the practice of these changing prices are really based on like the time of day, the demand, or location. So though it's recognized as being like sort of borderline deceptive, it's not illegal, you guys. And this is what a money-saving expert, Andrea Woolrich, indicated. And she said this is basically known as or referred to as dynamic pricing. So I don't give a fuck about all that. What I want to make sure is that you not charging me a different price for an item that somebody else purchased the same shit somewhere else and they got for a much lower price. Like, that's not what we're doing, is it, Target? Well, in 2019, a investigation by Carrie 11 News, that's a NBC affiliate out there in Minneapolis, they basically discovered that Target would change its prices based on whether the app users were shopping from in or outside a store. What the fuck? It was even stated that after comparing prices on 10 different products, the station's total bill was $262 cheaper when they're shopping from the back of the parking lot was sized against shopping inside the Target store. What the fuck type of fuckboy shit is that? Now, as if that didn't sound stupid enough to me, like, what the fuck difference does it make where I'm purchasing this item from? Why the fuck is the prices changing? Here's the fucking icing on the cake. It's not even just that, you know, whether you're inside the store or shopping from home, that impacts the price. You can, Target, also, like I mentioned earlier, they change their prices based on what city, suburb, or other community demographic you're in. Okay, what? I don't understand how that's okay. How's that? And I'm not talking morally. I mean, that seems a lot more than just deceptive. It seems like you're some kind of stealing. I don't know. So I don't want to give a wrong terminology to it, but deceptive just sounds too light. Like, this sounds like some type of penalty should be given for this bullshit. No, seriously, because I just don't get how it's okay to change prices based on where you're purchasing the product from, whether it's online or in the store, and if you're in the store, whether in the front of the store, in the parking lot, and like, what the fuck difference does that make? Including now where exactly I live also determines how much I'm paying for something? No. So if you like me and you wondering why the fuck does Target keep, you know, changes prices like that? A spokesperson told HuffPost that for online orders that are fulfilled by their store, the prices reflect the local market. So, for example, if you were to buy an 18-pack roll of tissue from, let's say, Chicago, you'd spend $15, right? $15.39. If you buy that same roll in size of tissue, quantity, whatever, it's going to be $15.89 in New York City. And if you buy the same exact thing in Los Angeles, it's going to be $16.29. So, a spokesperson from Target is saying that although the prices reflect the, quote, local market, they do offer guests the ability to price match through what they have referred to as price match guarantee, which it's like an added assurance, if you will, that you're basically getting the lowest price available, right? So, layman terms, they just adjust their prices based on economic factors, which I just don't understand how that is even possible to do. And they are in agreement. They're not denying that you may pay different prices, even if you are shopping online, depending on where the order is being fulfilled from. So keep this in mind, you guys, now that you know how things is running over there at Target. If you didn't know, though, Target can track your location, okay? Even when you're shopping online and through their mobile app. I'm quite certain many of you knew that already. But I just think that's fucking wrong. Yeah, I don't know how you feel about that, but I don't want to shop anywhere where the prices vary simply because of where the fuck I live. Like, what? All right, okay. We're not going to spend too much, you know, on too much longer on that. I just thought that was, you know, important for somebody. Because I know some of y'all Target shoppers. You know, I don't shop at Target no more. After that experience, it only takes one time to ruin an experience for me. And that's it. Nigga, I'm a Leo. We a fixed sign. I'm a fixed sign. No, no. Bad experience equals no more experiences. You dig? So just keep that in mind, you guys. If you are faithful, loyal Target shoppers, that is the latest on that and them. moving right along, moving forward, and forward we shall move. Keep a little light for a second, though, before I even jump into some more fucking information about whatever it is I'm going to tell you. Did you guys see Snowfall? Don't. I know, I'm addicted. Shut the fuck up. It's all right, okay? It's all right. But anyway, did you see episode 3? I hope you did, and I'm not, you know, spoiler alert, but I'll say this much. I'm not going to say too much, but I'll say this much. This is why I ain't getting no sleep. Bro, I can't sleep at night any fucking way. Like, my body is just regulated differently. But I was watching Snowfall like 3 o'clock this morning. And when I tell you, I was like, wow, Franklin. You gonna be like, if you ain't see it already, wow, Franklin. Yeah. I don't wanna blow it up, but I hope that this is not like the final season. It may very well be. I heard it was. And it probably has a lot to do with the fact that John Singleton passed away, and he was the director, I believe, or creator of this series. But it's fucking amazing. Really should check it out, guys, if you haven't already. But yeah, wow, that nigga Franklin. All right. yeah, right. So, moving right along. You know, it's never okay to be a liar, you guys. It doesn't matter if you're poor, you're rich, you're popular, unpopular. Everybody knows your name or nobody knows you at all. Lies catch up to us all, right? Apparently, it has caught up to SZA. And it's so fucked up because most of the shit that she got caught lying about, according to an article, most of the shit that she got caught lying about was, you know, bullshit, little stupid petty shit, right? So I was like, yeah, whatever to that shit, right? Because, you know, if you felt you needed to lie about dumb shit like that, then whatevs, right? But out of everything that was mentioned, what stood out the most that kind of got under my skin was the lies about obtaining a bachelor's degree, if I'm not mistaken, in biology. I just want to make sure that that's accurate. But as far as the degree that she alleged that she had. But yeah, why are we doing that again? Why are we doing that? I'm getting Candace Owen vibes. Remember that bitch was 2020 talking all that shit with her fancy vernacular and vocabulary, and she has yet to also get a degree. So, not to say, people, that just because you have a degree, it automatically makes you the smartest man in the room. No, it doesn't, but it definitely does show a commitment to follow through on something. It says that much. And if you don't have a degree, it's fine. I know a lot of brilliant, intelligent people that do not have a degree. But if you don't have it, why lie and say that you do? I think that, for me, is what left a nasty taste in my mouth about the whole situation. Yeah, like, who does that? You know, if you're comfortable with you being you, then you wouldn't have to lie about personal information. It's just, it's kind of disappointing. So, again, the degree that she indicated she had was in marine biology, which is very impressive, by the way, to have a degree in. It was indicated that she went to a Ivy League school, but she went to Delaware State. And it's nothing wrong with Delaware State, right? So let's just not go there when it comes to, like, schools. I hate when people do that. Like, how I went here and oh, but I went there. Like, at the end of the day, a degree is a degree. Your degree is no better than my degree. Nigga, bitch, we all did this shit, okay? So I'm not even entertaining that. But what I will keep frowning upon is the fact that she didn't finish and she portrayed herself as though she did, and she never corrected that on her own. You know, something that type of information should have came from you. It should have never been somebody else exposing you for being dishonest. And like I said, of all things, your degree, like, I didn't give a fuck. Look, I'm gonna tell you what the shit that was mentioned that she lied about, that I felt was irrelevant to me, it still says something about her character, because what the fuck are we lying for, bitch? But I didn't give no fucks about, truthfully. Maybe you will, so I'm gonna just tell you, right? Because I got all kind of listeners, right? So I know it's some people sitting in their room like, no, Co, tell us the other shit the bitch was lying about. All right, so here it is. So this thing a lot about never having a TV by posting a photo. No, so the fan who exposed her in a very lengthy Twitter thread, and this was Tuesday, March 2nd, the fan detailed everything that the person believed SZA was lying about. So at some point, SZA must have stated that she never had a TV. But the fan posted a photo of SZA sitting in front of a TV. All right. Then there were claims that the fan shut down, in which SZA states she's, quote, not a cake or pie person, end quote. The fan, oh, this fan must have had a lot of time. The fan posted a picture of SZA enjoying a birthday cake. So you gotta be cautious, especially you celebrities, because regular people go through haters going through our shit with a fine tooth comb, right? So you a celebrity, you don't think people is waiting to trip you up on the shit that you said that ain't valid or ain't exactly what you said? So they wait for that. You gotta know, this is a weird era, right, where people are waiting to expose you, right? So this is just, you know, again, that's light to me, but I'll tell you either way. Another thing SZA's being allegedly accused of lying about was her freckles. Okay, see, this is where it started. Now, this is where it's starting to get, you know, like, now, come on now. Now, what you doing? The cake shit, I don't give a fuck about that shit. The TV, whatever. But bitch, we lying about, what are you, making up fake freckles and shit? The Twitter fan user says that, yes,
The freckles were actually fake and badly drawn. So what? And she accused SZA of lying about her real hair, which nowadays a lot of them celebrity bitches is. So that part didn't even faze me either. She's been accused of lying about what year she was born. So at one point, she claimed to be born in 1991, but SZA's EP has her birth year as 1989. What the fuck are we doing, people? The information about her going to an Ivy League school and majoring in marine biology came from an interview she did. So, you can't get mad at anybody if these words came out of your mouth, SZA. You know what I'm saying? You can't even get mad if this is what you said and then it turns out that ain't what it is. Because you said that, mama. This ain't third-party information. That's you saying this is what it is and somebody doing their due diligence. I don't know why. They just had time, I guess, to check whether or not what you said is valid. And apparently, they checked it and it wasn't. Yeah. Other dumb shit, like accusing SZA of lying about allergies. Like, just little dumb shit. And ironically, I thought after all of that being said, the fan was like, where are you coming from? Because after all of that's being said, the fan encouraged people not to cancel the All-Star Songstress. So basically, she was like, I'm not telling you to cancel SZA for some lying things being said, you know, but some being harmless. But, you know, she just wanted to let people know that, watch the shit that you say that ain't fucking true. Because niggas will make sure to show you, yo, you said this? That ain't true. I'm okay with, and I don't even say I'm okay, because, you know, that's her, right? I just think that it's really disrespectful to lie about having a degree that you don't have. Like, clearly, you must like the image or, you know, the accolades, I should say, that comes with having a degree enough that you went as far as to be in school and major in whatever you majored in, and for whatever reason you didn't complete it, why not just say that? You know what I mean? Like, if it means that much to you that you want to stretch the truth by saying you finished, why don't you actually finish then? That way it doesn't look so much like a lie. You know what I mean? Pull a whole Megan Thee Stallion on niggas. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know if she's finished yet. I think she should be or is. I'm not sure. I've stopped keeping up. I had stopped keeping up with her in school back when I did the podcast about her in school. So, I'm just saying, for people who actually invested their time in getting a degree, whether it's associates at 2 years, bachelor's at four, you know, graduate degrees and other forms of post degrees, PhDs and things of that sort, it's kind of an insult to me and those people to just try to carry a title on the bandwagon. Like, yeah, I did this. It's like, I want the clout. I want to say I have that, but I don't really have that. Why would you do that? Do you feel like saying that makes you look better? Do you feel better? Do you feel smarter? Because this was some dumb shit now. Look what happened. This is why you just gotta keep it real. All she had to do, if it were me, in the interview is say, yeah, you know, I attended college and, you know, you didn't even have to say what you majored in if you didn't want to. It's your interview, right, bitch? Like, you control shit, do you not? I would have just said, if I know I didn't finish school, yeah, I was enrolled in college and undergrad. I plan to return at some point. Things kind of didn't go as expected, but, you know, I'll be back. Say that. don't fancy shit up and say you got a marine biology degree from an Ivy League school, mama. You know, anybody with a degree, if you really got one, we'll know. And we'll know if you really don't. So, yeah, that's... She hasn't responded to the accusations. It's probably best that she doesn't. But yeah, there's that, right? There's fucking that. Yeah, so, you know. Let me take a sip of my tea. On a more serious note, though, let me switch the energy up. Remember a couple of days ago, if not last segment, right? I was telling you guys about how Black Lives Matter is investing $3 million into a COVID relief package of their own, in which they're using that money to assist with communities of color that need the assistance, right? However they're gonna distribute that money, whether it's, you know, helping with things that they're lacking, food, helping with evictions and all those things, and additional resources. But no sooner than I discussed that in my last segment, I find out that Michael Brown Jr.'s father, you guys should all know who Michael Brown Jr. is. His dad is demanding $20 million from Black Lives Matter Group. He states that the family foundation has not received support from the movement. According to a lot of local activists, they're indicating that they haven't received support from the organization. They said that they've been forgotten about. And it was the Black people that needed the assistance. So here it is. The father, and you guys know they are from Ferguson, Missouri, demands this $20 million from Black Lives Matter. And their reason for such is that they want them to fund $20 million for the Ferguson organizers, the organizations and the community foundations, so that work there can be done. So it's like they feel neglected from getting any kind of financial assistance to be able to deal with pursuing social justice in their state. Michael Brown Sr. actually released a joint video statement condemning the foundation for a lack of support when they felt that Black Lives Matter made it very clear that they were going to assist them. So I don't know. It just comes at a very bad time. Like, you just hear about Black Lives Matter saying that they're going to give $3 million and now this, right? It's kind of fucked up. I hope this is not a ploy, or, you know, I hope this attention isn't the wrong attention, right? That's the best way I want to word this without offending anybody and their causes and what they stand for. Tori Russell, who's the director of the International Black Freedom Alliance, so that's the IBFA, wanted it to be noted that they're not begging for a handout. They're simply asking, or fuck asking, they're coming for what they believe they deserve.
Greetings, I'm Tori Russell, Ferguson frontline organizer, and on the behalf of many activists in the St. Louis area, I'm joined with Mike Brown Sr., the father of Mike Brown Jr. Today, we hold Black Lives Matter accountable. The movement that is catapulting to the limelight has forgotten about Ferguson and the freedom fighters. Freedom fighters like King D. Sears, Edward Crawford, and Donye Jones have literally given their lives to the struggle, but rarely spoken about, and families are not taken care of. Brother Ali, Joshua Williams, and many other political prisoners from the Ferguson movement are incarcerated or have been and still has received no assistance from Black Lives Matter. What kind of movement are we building where we're saying Black Lives Matter, but the freedom fighters and the families are being left behind? Where is our restitution? Where is our organizing? Where is our building of a movement? We have groups like the Lost Voices and the Freedom Fighters here, and thousands of other youth activists in their 20s and 30s have been out in the streets protesting for months and months and years for years, still forgotten. We're asking that Black Lives Matter leadership funds $20 million to Ferguson organizers, organizations, and community foundations to do the work. We're not begging for a handout. We're coming for what we deserve. Today, as we demand the $20 million to go to Ferguson as restorative measures so we can continue what we started, here's what we'll be organizing. Annual commemorations around Mike Brown Jr.'s life. Mutual aid programs. Black Panther-style programs and services to meet the needs of the people. Community gardens and farms. And also organizing fellowships and stipends so we can fight white supremacy full time. This is what we started in Ferguson, and this is what we will continue.
Yeah, you guys. So if you want to know more about that, for more information, you can contact Twitter at the IBFA. So at all caps, T-H-E-I-B-F-A, Instagram at T-H-E-I-B-F-A, and the website is theibfa.org. Now, the Ferguson activist allegations came after the release of the Black Lives Matter movement's annual impact report. So CNN reported that the foundation took in a historical $90 million in donations over the last year. And, you know, it was a record-breaking year for fundraising. Nearly a quarter of its total fundraising efforts were given to local chapters and organizations across the country, which is 3 times the industry standard, according to CNN. On Giving Tuesday, the Black Lives Matter movement raised more than $80,000 for 6 local organizations. The Black Empowerment Group also created a sister organization in 2020 called BLM Grassroots to work towards growing local activism and leaders. But despite all of this, Ferguson and the organizers, from Ferguson are questioning why they are being left out. Michael Sr. states, "How could you leave the families who are helping the community without any funding?" So, as I find out more, as this story continues to develop, you know me, I'll let you guys know. But, you know, it's very unfortunate that We all have the same commonality, I would hope, as black people, black activists, wanting the same collective things in our community. And somehow we often get sidetracked when money's involved, right, of any sort. So I'm really hoping that Black Lives Matter and the Ferguson activists can come to some sort of resolution for the people in the communities that are affected by the social inequality that has taken place to this day out there in Ferguson. So yeah, I'll keep you guys posted on that as I find out information. Okay, yeah. All right, let me pick up the energy. 6ix9ine. Y'all know y'all ain't right. Y'all niggas, especially y'all niggas in the industry, how in the fuck is this nigga just able to do the most like this? Like, the shit that 6ix9ine is doing, gets away with doing, is just fucking baffling to me. He's a very disrespectful person, dude. I'm not a fan. Sorry, I don't have to be, you know. If you are, cool. I'm not. I think sometimes when people also don't like what other people like, you know, if you don't like a particular artist, then people frown at you, like, oh, you hating, or no, you guys need to understand, if I don't like something, or if somebody doesn't like something that the masses might like, doesn't mean that person is hating. That means that person has their own opinion and they don't resonate with what you resonate with. That doesn't mean they're hating. That means I have an opinion, I don't like the shit, and let's move forward. So the latest with this cocksucker, yeah, I said it. You thought it, so fuck it. This nigga has no cool. He went ahead and insulted the late... I can't deal with this nigga. You guys know King Von passed away some months back. And Tekashi has been going in on the late rapper, mocking him. And making like taunting sort of remarks towards King Von, rest in peace, saying rest in piss. Like this, 6ix9ine, he shared a group of not a group, but you know, several photos. One of him actually wearing a t-shirt with King Von's portrait on it. So it was like, it read, if a nigga killer ain't dead, you shouldn't wear no rest in peace shirts. Now he wrote this in the caption, referencing Pooh Shiesty's Back in Blood Bars. Then in another picture, the trolls rapper is what they're referring him as. He was laying in the middle of the street, acting like he was dead. Hashtag pick your man is what he wrote over the image. Are you fucking shitting me? And how is he able to still... Yeah, I gotta be cautious on how I say things. I just don't understand how this fuckery is allowed in the music industry. Like, how? And this is not the first time 6ix9ine is insulted. You know, the late rapper. This is crazy. He even went as far as rapping about Von on his new track, Zaza. And dissed Little Dirt as well. I think the line that was quoted was, "You ain't kill shit. You let your mans die. They killed your cousin and your man, and you still ain't do shit." Like, wow. The nerve of 6ix9ine to critique and judge and criticize other people's quote gangster. How are you in a position to say anything about what anybody's doing and consider to be gangster when you a whole rat, my nigga? Like, I don't even understand how, you know. Wow. This nigga here. Just know, we don't rep that nigga in the X. Like, I don't know what Brooklyn do. And I love you to life, BK. I don't know if y'all repping this nigga because he is from y'all borough. But we don't acknowledge that shit in the X. Like, what? 6ix9ine, what? Who? At least none of my niggas. But this shit has gotten so out of control that 6ix9ine's baby mother has started complaining about how his online theatrics is basically putting their daughter in danger. She says she's received alleged death threats and massive insults due to all this bullshit and controversy surrounding him. This is crazy. I'm disappointed that people are even inboxing her about his shit. Like, she ain't got nothing to do with that. And if you're threatening a child, may God have mercy on your soul. Because what the fuck, bro? Really? I agree with her when she says, I don't think a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old should be involved in the chaos of an adult. This is crazy. This is really sad. But you know, the things we do for clout, right? The things we do for attention, the things we do for buzz, the things we do to trend. This is all of that in a nutshell, is it not? Another person who unfortunately got some exposure in the media, is Benzino's daughter, Coi Leray. Yeah. Wow, I mean, the fuckery just keeps on going. Homegirl says she's embarrassed to be Benzino's daughter. Now, granted, even if that is her true feelings and she's entitled to feel how she feels, I personally don't think that that was warranted. She didn't have to. I don't think she should have did that. You know, that's bad form. You know, I don't know if she did that to get attention. Like I said, you know, bad news is good news, all publicity, you know what I'm saying, just to get, you know, shit talking, right? But if you expose your father, or you know what I'm saying, you be real niggas in attendance is looking like, damn, if you put your dumb pops out like that, who, ain't no telling what you would do to anybody else. Like, that's just weird. I don't give a fuck if my dad is whatever the fuck my dad is. Thank God my dad ain't. My dad is a solid dude. But if he wasn't, I wouldn't be out there exposing a nigga for who? For a couple of likes? To get niggas to hear my story? Like, what is the meaning? What is the point in all this? Well, apparently, hold on. So his daughter has a new song, No More Parties. Basically on this song, she blasted her dad, Benzino, you know, called her out for it. And she hit back in a response to her dad. She was quoted saying, "This motherfucker has the nerve." It's crazy because we was just on the phone crying yesterday, sharing this moment, like really sharing the moment. for this man to come on here and do this so lame, and this is the reason he burnt all his bridges today. Look here, for I mean, this is some intimate family shit. Why the fuck are you airing out your dirty family laundry for other people's enjoyment? Y'all niggas can't be serious. It should never be that serious for attention.
It's crazy because we was just on the phone crying yesterday, sharing this moment, like really sharing the moment. Like, don't even understand, like, and I can't wait to tell my story because it's so many young females, young male that got industry parents or that got people in the industry, and these people feel like they got so much power, bro. These motherfuckers got so much power. Nah, them tables turn. Y'all out dated this up.
Yeah, so they clipped up. Basically, you heard what you heard. She's very emotional when she did this Instagram live feed, and basically she was saying she's charting right now, and all she can get from her father is lame shit. She said, proving still how much he lacks as a father. So, whoa. You know, it's clear that there are some very serious family issues here. I just don't think going about it this way is the best way. Less is more. I don't think everybody in the world needed to be aware of this type of toxicities within the family dynamic, but you know, I'm also not her. She looked very stressed. She sounded very frustrated with whatever it is that she's going through or has been through, which currently we don't know the whole story, but she is stating she can't wait to tell it. So, wow. Again,
tube top. I'm on Rolling Stone breaking all kinds of records, and this Benzino wants to come online and start me, bro. Instead of being a father and just supporting from that.
Yeah. So you can sense the frustration, and like I said, I think it's a lot bigger than what brief information we even got from that Instagram live. Is very personal, clearly, and I just don't think either one of them are going about it the best way. For him to say that he's embarrassed that she's his daughter is a huge reach. I don't know how true this is, but she states that Benzino has told her that she should have been a boy because he would have knocked her the fuck out. So since then, Quay has apologized for, quote, stepping out of character. But she says she's still angry. Mm-mm-mm. She also admitted that she believes that what transpired was a test and she failed by responding. And oftentimes that is what it is, a test in terms of how you react to things, right? Because it's not, you can't control what other people do, but you can most definitely control how you react to it. And so she's recognizing that maybe the way she reacted wasn't the best. Not everything needs a response. See? This is why you got to take those moments to woosah. You don't just impulsively react off of something that has happened immediately after it has happened. I hope they can come to some sort of resolution, because the last thing you need is some family drama and everybody in the world involved in your family drama. Like, that's just unnecessary. You know, whatever you guys are going through, I pray for healing for you guys, but less is more. Keep that shit out the industry. Keep that shit out the tabloids and the blogs and all the shade rooms and all the messy shit that like to air messy shit. Like, y'all, come on, rise above the bullshit. Keep y'all personal shit personal. Handle it. This is not the best way, in my opinion, to handle it. But, you know, it's not me. It's them. Moving along. I feel like giving y'all a song. Y'all want some music? I'm going to give y'all some music real quick. I'm going to give you some music. Hit you with two more brief intel. And then I'm going to be out of here, you guys. So since it's Throwback Thursday. I'm going to dig in the crates real quick.
Me for I'm so more ass than a hoe, and you stressing the raw. If I was testing your jaw, maybe then you would respect me. But you can't respect me, cause you don't even know me, nigga. Check me. I'm that motherfucker that'll put you to sleep while you sleeping. Big die from 100 feet. You just knew you was creeping, but bad decision. Sleep to last decision. What? Fast collision. Now your ass is missing. What? Take it over there, now you bring it back to the streets. Have you forgotten what it means when a dog shows his teeth? Let me break it down for you. He's about to attack you. Still standing here faggot? You must want me to smack. You ain't been there or done that. Fuck is y'all niggas telling me? I'm the only nigga walking the streets with four fellas. Repeat this. I see shit is hard. Niggas are struggling. So leave rap alone for a little while. Go back to hustling.
Oh, in a way you're gonna stop my flow.
They give it to me. Hit him in the rhyme because I'm an MC. Been a lot of places most niggas won't see. That's why I'm at a level that your niggas won't be. Let your man hold something that he want more. You ain't no fucking killer. What was the front for? There was a time when the world was at your front door. Now they changed place. Why? Niggas want more. Niggas laughed at me and was mad at me. Cause the way life was going had to be a tragedy. Come on. After me, it's over. I'ma take the whole verse. Try to keep it real, that's why I let y'all niggas go first. But you look the gift horse right in the mouth. Then appreciate what you got when you got it. So if I see it, I'ma dot it. Better hide it. You got a car, better drive it. The fuck up out of here. And hope and pray I don't pull up alongside it. Come on.
In a way, you're gonna stop my flow. In a way, your nigga just don't know.
So I gotta flip. It seems they've forgotten how dark it can get. Bark like a pit. Scratch when I hit. We both know you pussy, but you stay talking shit. What I'ma have to do, dog? Run up in your vest. Catch you while you comfortable, but one up in your chest. One up in your vest. Of course, they the hollows. You going away today. Just lost tomorrow. I'ma go platinum. Gots to be kidding. Why? Make it double platinum. No bullshit. And I'ma stay flipping flows. Ripping shows. Stripping hoes, getting dough, letting go. And niggas know
best is the dog DMX's. The rest is or might as well be helpless. I'm reckless, cause when I wreck shit, I might snatch a nigga's necklace and go from like midnight to breakfast.
Come on! In a way, you're gonna stop my flow. In a way, your niggas just don't know. When niggas is about to go, oh no, oh no. In a way, you're gonna stop my shine. In a way, your niggas gonna stop mine. Your niggas must be out your mind. I don't know why. In a way, you're gonna stop my flow. In a way, your niggas just don't know. When niggas is about to go, oh no, oh no. In a way, you're gonna stop my shine. In a way, your niggas
gonna niggas stop back to some real ass shit with this one,
your
dog.
Niggas must be out your mind. I don't know why.
Real mechanical, baby.
Where you gonna stop my shine? Your nigga won't never stop mine. You must be out your motherfucking mind.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I know you motherfuckers is like, damn, Cole, you always playing some throwback. Well, it is Throwback Thursday. And even if it wasn't Throwback Thursday, you should already know, like, this is the type of flow I be on. First of all, it's Throwback Thursday. And you don't even understand, like, D albums. I think I've said this before. I think I said this on the DMX versus with Snoop, how much I love X. Like, real talk, like, that's, that nigga's a very special nigga in my heart. When I was in a group home and them albums hit, them albums helped. Both of them albums in, what was that, 9-8? Yeah. Shout out to you, X. I'm very much looking forward to his new music that's coming out really, really soon. So yeah, that's the reason, guys, why I know, because I can hear some of my listeners like, why you don't ever play, you know, shit that's, you know, current, right? Because I just don't want to. Like, if it's something that's current that I fuck with, I will one day. But, you know, I'm an old school bitch now. Like, yeah, I like what I like, and some of this shit that's out, I don't really like it, so I ain't playing shit that I don't like. But moving forward, so I'ma just leave you guys with some really positive news before I exit stage left. And I think you will be very happy to hear this. Well, I don't know if happy is the right word, but I think you will be impressed by the information that I'm going to give you. So there's this father and son team that has launched together what they refer to as a Junior Wall Street nonprofit organization. Now, what this does is it teaches black kids about investing in stocks. And you guys remember, I just said, I think the last segment, that, you know, it's very unfortunate that when I was in high school, and I'm quite certain a lot of you guys will fall in this category, we didn't have classes set up in the hood that explain economics to us, explain the importance of saving, IRAs, equity, and things of that sort. You know, you didn't learn about that until you got fucking bank accounts, and you didn't learn about how important credit was until you fucked your shit up. So I am very impressed by this new dynamic. So I thought you guys would be too. And I want to share a little bit about what this nonprofit organization is and what to look out for. So this father and son duo, the son is 13 years old. They created the nonprofit organization, excuse me. I always say this fucking word like it's less syllables than it is. Whatevs, right? They created the nonprofit. Look at this, nonprofit. It's this T, y'all. I didn't put this T down. What tea is this? Long Island. All right. This this nonprofit organization is geared to decreasing the black wealth gap that exists here in America. And they're wanting to do this by training the youth in financial literacy, which is huge, you guys. All right? Very, very fucking huge. So, Kevon and Kamari Chisholm, the co-founders of Junior Wall Street, Wall Streeters, Inc., said that this came about due to the demand of their summer literacy camps. And as a result of the coronavirus pandemic, they weren't able, obviously, for obvious reasons, to participate in that type of course development that they had created. However, they've still felt a need to help families. So, I guess they reconstructed their mission and they ended up, you know, creating the organization that now exists. So, they figured, you know what? There's a lot of students that were interested in what they were doing, but they were like unable to afford the cost of the camp. So they changed their status to nonprofit, in which they're able to get resources and grants and sponsorships from larger corporations and organizations to assist in fulfilling their mission towards their organization. So, all in all, they hope to build a generation of investors who understand and take charge of their financial futures, which is dope. Like, I'm all for supporting this. They have courses like financial literacy, investing, stock analysis, real estate investing, and a course in, you guessed it, cryptocurrency. You guys, cryptocurrency should be a fucking household name in your residence, because that shit is taking over the wave. And if you haven't already, start investing, you guys. Bitcoin, start investing. Look into that. It's not that difficult, you guys. Stop being intimidated by something you do not know. Learn the shit, all right? And then you don't need to be intimidated no more. The father, Kevon, is a native of Newark, New Jersey. So shout out to Newark. Aye! Jersey! He graduated from Seton Hall University Law School in 1997. He holds a master's degree. Master's! With honors, you guys, in African American studies from Yale, and a bachelorette degree in economics from Drew University. So he is degreed up, you guys, and that's huge. You know, I'm an advocate for education. So this man has been very passionate throughout his whole life about uplifting and forwarding his African American community through knowledge of self and wealth building, right? So shout out to him for even comprising such an organization with his son. Something that the youth could certainly benefit from. And I hope that this launches off productively. The first program that is being offered actually met online with a meet and greet on February 20th. So I'm curious as to how that's going. I'm going to look into that further. But I thought you guys would be interested in learning about how many new creative endeavors and projects are being birthed.
So look out for that, you guys. Again, topics like budgeting, establishing and maintaining good credit, banking, and investing in the stock market is just some of the few courses that are being discussed, as well as teaching generational wealth building. So, you guys, doesn't that sound awesome? So if you're more interested in what this entails, I would suggest that you follow up at theblackwallstreeter.com/shop/camp/regis. So look into that, guys, and as always, if you have feedback, let me know. Call me. We can discuss it on air or, you know, privately, however you want to do it. But I definitely think this is an awesome concept, and I'm super excited for it. I'm going to be looking into this as well and, you know, handing this over to Heavenly and see if this is something that she is interested in as well. So, you guys, I'm gonna close it out. You guys, you know, you've been here rocking with me for 1 second, so I'm gonna let you go and do the things you like to do other than listening to Co. But I will be back. Note that when I do come back, we will be starting season 15, and I will be kicking that off with the URL Kings versus Queens Part 2 Battle Critiques. All right. So, with that being said, you guys, I'm getting out of here. You guys have a great evening, and I'll see you really soon. Later, you guys.
Available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.